Inside my mouth, I feel your furry paws, gritty and rough, loamy and metallic, tasting of the surfaces you stride. You move on prodigious feet, almost spectral. Caught between your toes is dried mud and a sprig of grass. There's a jagged bone where it was broken in the leg trap, the foot now deformed. I imagine the gears that gnash together your tightly hinged jaws and long, sharp teeth. These are your mechanics of tearing, ripping, and cutting. This is your survival. Your howl echoes off the rock bluffs. You carry on for 8 minutes, punctuating howls. Yes. With bark,
big growl, snarl,
the right to determine our own fate, the right to decide if and when we have a child has been up for debate in the halls of power.
Speak brusquely.
We have been called race baiters. This is no drill.
Abruptly. Thunder, roar, bellow. Everything has a voice, emanating from a mouth, deep in the throat, the lungs. Some voices are merely less audible than others. Everything writes sentences. Rivers and wind, migrating geese, wolves, mandates over bodies, unformed opinions. Like emissary spirits, you're entirely grounded in an earthly bodily contact, hidden.
This is no drill.
On their way to becoming ghosts, the pups are growing and growling. They cavort and fill the den. It's a cavity of safety, a bed of sustenance and fun. They venture out only to return to this bowl-like space, a pelvis beneath the earth. The wolf belongs to the country of their prey and landscape, to the deer, to the elk, and maybe a sick calf. A sacrifice tinged with the greatest fear and often the end for that wolf, for all wolves. They can be owned no more than a shadow.
And I've stood on the steps of the Supreme Court, chanting, nobody's free until everybody's free. Liberate.
Consider the wild animal as a sovereign nation, their communities as other. Bodies with rights, something peculiar, exotic. We visit as farmers, you say, not managers. Nobody is free until everybody is free. Stones, marbles, sticks clacking my teeth. So what is wildness? Today I saw a fox on somebody's front lawn. After a while, he caught my eye and slunk off, taking his fluffy, bushy tail with him. How do we travel the landscape of truth? The ghost pups are play fighting in the curvature of my hips along the strong back wall of sacroiliac joints. The labyrinth where muscles and tendons traverse is an offering like two hands shaped as a crucible. I am the wolf, decapitated, head hanging from a noose, hung on the signpost, draped with four dismembered paws facing in each direction, north, south, east and west. I am a gray smudge, a lolling tongue. I am done being a human. I am fury dressed in flesh, a fist or two. This grief somewhere in the intestines, spewing and stewing. A cavity between fingers and palm, this fury dressed in fingernails digging into lifeline. Look at those lines. To palm is corruption embodied. It's also a prize, a trophy of honor. Flay, wound, clench, cramp. Look at those lines.
So I felt a lot of fear in 2020. I wasn't afraid of COVID,
Madam Speaker, but I was afraid hysterical. We have been called
hysteria and the totalitarian
fear mongers. And when I talk about
that hijacked the general hysteria,
I cannot stomach one more lecture about the preservation of civil liberty.
Our fears are dumped on a proximate target.
When you seek to deny me the very freedom and agency over my own body.
Cramp.
Fear can, you know, shut you down, but it can also bring you to a higher degree of attention and aliveness.
Nobody is free until everybody is free.
A deeper, unprocessed dread forms my clenched anger. What defines a wolf better than hair-raising fur, sharp teeth, green eyes, mournful howl, yips and barks? Is the way she travels her staggering distance, and how we don't see her doing so. Maybe we track her radio collar, blip here, blip there. A terror of encounter with something distinct, something different, a dismembered ego. And those yellow-green eyes shimmering. Everything is in the glint of those eyes. Those glaring eyes are almost audible. I am wolf number 37, zigzagging through 70 miles of forest with my pack of souls, sinking into the future. I don't have to see them, he says. I only need to know their certainty of them somewhere out there. They could blink out, just disappear. Or they could find root cracks for their secret lives in these magic places. Keep this in mind as you try to convince someone of your story, the invisible made evident.
A new belief can only enter when the lodging is hospitable. The hospitality isn't only individual, though. It is also social.
Walls constricting, tightening, tensing, cramping, fisted. Fury of adoration, respect.
As more people accept a new story, its field grows stronger and pulls yet more into its orbit.
Wonder what might happen if you join opposites together.
The choice of which story to stand in is also a choice of a state of being.
My heart is the size of two clenched fists. The parts are like my house, chambers or rooms. Valves as doors, vessels as plumbing. The electrical wiring paces.
Ka-thump,
ka-thump. Beats tell a story. Remember this as you try to satisfy yours as truth. Like wolves, the new stories will have old shapes, even if the words are different.
Fury of adoration.
And respect. I dream a noble dog, a German shepherd dream, straddling the arched doorway in a maze-like warehouse. The muscular herder floats on his haunches. He blocks our way. He's aloof and alert, agile, ready to work, to lunge. He is a dark shape just beyond the edge of the wood's pitch. I can smell the green forest. They are wild creatures. We are something tamer. The workers inside are organizing some kind of product. We ask if we'll be able to pass by the guard dog. King is very friendly, one of them tells us. Should we pet him? Talk to him? You can, he answers. The sighing wind offers an echo. The Russian poet explains that however much you feed a wolf, it always looks to the forest.